Hello, Lion Cook Nation. This is Ray DeLucci with the Lion Cook Thoughts Podcast. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. Welcome back to another week's episode. And before we get into this interview, I did want to say that I apologize for missing out on the last newsletter that I was supposed to send out last Monday. So if you're listening to this today on Sunday when this drops, I send out a newsletter every Monday, which I'll talk about in a minute. And last Monday, I missed my newsletter. It didn't go out. And the reason for it not going out is when I was actually working on the newsletter, my MacBook Air of almost 4 years died. This is a refurbished Mac I got on sale back in 2019. It's what I built Lion Cook Thoughts on. And the hardware just gave out and nothing worked. And to get it repaired was more than almost as much actually as getting a new one. So I am back with a MacBook Pro. I am back in action with a new piece of equipment, but did just want to say apologies on not sending out the newsletter last week. Did hit some major technical difficulties that included my computer not working at all, and a quick moment of silence and rest in peace to the MacBook Air that was involved so much in the Lion Cook Thoughts building. And I didn't really think much about it until I had to part ways with it, and so many hours spent on that laptop. So thank you, MacBook Air. Thank you, refurbished MacBook Air, for all of your hard work. As you might have just heard, I do have a newsletter. It comes out every Monday. If you go to linecookthoughts.com, you can go put in your email and get a weekly newsletter from me. This newsletter is called Prep List Items, and it's just a few bullet points on things I find interesting, things of note that I really enjoy. After doing this for almost 4 years, I've come across so many different things, and I love sending it out to my audience. So go check out that newsletter, put your email in at linecookthoughts.com, and sign up and subscribe. My guest today is Chef Eric Rivera, and I just want to start by saying that I really enjoyed this conversation with Eric. He is super funny, super cool. I will say, if you're at work, and let's just say there's a lot of colorful language used in this episode, it's definitely something you would listen to in the kitchen more than anything. So if you are at in an environment where you can't listen to a lot of colorful language, might not be the best time to play this one. That being said, I really enjoyed my conversation with Eric. We talk about a lot. You know, Eric has this background. He's a Puerto Rican chef, and he's done everything from working at the highest of echelons in fine dining to doing his own food tour now, along with doing ebooks and CPG products and tech startups and all these different things. And we get into all of it in this over 1 hour conversation I had with him. So I really hope you enjoy it. I really hope you go to ericriveracooks.com. That is ericriveracooks.com to check out everything he has going on. Also a great follow on Twitter. All this information will be in the notes below, but I just really love this conversation. Definitely a highlight for me was when we started to talk about the industry in regards to rating systems and just the wall people can hit when working and pushing for an award. And as you all know, if you've listened to any amount of this podcast, you know that I don't really promote a lifestyle or a career path that is aimed to be just rewarded. I think there has to be a lot more substance to it. And I think Eric puts it perfectly in terms of why it can be so detrimental. So Eric, really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you all to the listeners listening to the podcast. And here we go. We are live. Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time. If you just want to start by introducing yourself, that'd be great.
Well, hello. I'm Eric. I'm a chef person. I do food stuff. you know, I'm kind of on tour right now for a while, working on some other projects. But yeah, I kind of do a lot.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I could tell just by your website. I followed you on Twitter for the last few years. I've been trying to keep up with everything. I think it'd be cool to start with the tour aspect. I've been trying to get away from podcasts where, like, I just go from the beginning of someone's career to the end, because I think it's cool to kind of jump into different things. So I do want to ask you how you got into cooking, but first I kind of want to start with the tour. How did you kind of get this idea, and can you explain first what it is and then how you thought of it and why you wanted to execute on it?
Yeah, about like three and a half years ago, I was starting to do this whole thing where I had my like restaurant, my first brick and mortar on my own place, my own thing, no investors, kind of nobody to tell me what to do, like my own shit the whole way. Yeah. I started to kind of get into this, like, I wouldn't say a funk, but I knew there was more stuff out there. I didn't want to be necessarily tied to the restaurant space. So I was already kind of like going like, what else is out there? I started to do like some dinners outside of the city, I'd done pop-ups and shit like everywhere. When I worked at Alinea, I was the like everything there. I was the kind of like director of culinary for the whole group. So I worked for Alinea Next Aviary, and then I worked directly with like Grant. So like when he traveled, like I traveled, and there's special projects, I did that. So I was kind of used to like traveling all over the world and kind of doing that shit. So, you know, on my side, I didn't have their type of money. So I started to like think of like little trips and little excursions and little things that I could do for guests. And I was kind of toying with that 3 years ago. Then pandemic happened. So then after my lease ended at my restaurant, they kind of gave me lease renewal, and it was 19% more. So I told them to go fuck themselves. I was like, yeah, fuck you guys. This shit should be like half. Fuck you. And so I said, you know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I knew that was like a year before my lease ended anyway. So I was like, man, what the fuck am I going to do? I definitely don't want to get into another lease situation because I know this pandemic's still going to be bad. There's going to be bad shit that's coming. I didn't want to get locked into something. So then I was like, man, what, you know, I have guests that aren't leaving and aren't going anywhere and aren't doing things or stuck at home or whatever. So I'll just go to them. So I started putting up dates all over the country, and then people just started buying tickets, man. It's wild. So then I started that, you know, I started selling that like almost a year before, like 8 or 9 months before. And then I kind of had like an area of where I was going. Mm-hmm. And so I just completed like the first lap this like a week ago. Okay. So I'm back in Seattle now. And that started in last February of going from Seattle to San Francisco, LA, Palm Springs, Nashville, Tennessee, Atlanta, DC, Puerto Rico, Raleigh twice, and then all the way back here. So, and there's, you know, obviously the cities and shit in between, but like those are the ones where I was doing like dinners and ebook stuff and all these other projects I was doing. So that was like the first essentially leg. I liked it so much, and I was like, man, people are kind of digging the vibe that I, you know, like 2.5 months ago, I was like, fuck it, let's do another round.
Okay.
So now I'll be going again, you know, and then, yeah, kind of keeping it going. So it'll be fun.
Are you coming to DC at all?
I was in DC. I did dinners in DC. It was cool, man. I really like it there. The food scene is unreal. People are dope as shit. It was hot as fuck when I was there. It was like 100 degrees. I was like, Jesus, kill me. But no, it was really cool there, man. Like, I definitely want to go back. I have guests now that are kind of a little bit more like open to going in more spaces. I think that's kind of been the thing that I've been managing the whole time, is like, who's gonna want to come to you, you know, who are you going to them? But it's always been really, like, really small. This whole thing is like basically like a traveling like private chef kind of thing.
Okay.
But with like, I'm bringing all my stuff, like plates and glasses and silverware and equipment. So it's like I'm bringing like my obscenely high-end kitchen with me everywhere I go, so people get that shit. It's not just me showing up with like a rolling pin and some fucking chef knives.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting the whole show and plates and glasses and whole deal. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. And for you, like, as a chef moving around, obviously that's, you know, it's a good amount of work. What is a dinner? Like, what does a guest get at a dinner in terms of like courses?
Yeah, it ranges from, you know, like 7 to 10 things, sometimes more, never less. And I'm kind of just playing with things, you know, I've been dropped in some of the coolest markets around the US to find things. You know, when I was in Georgia, I was like, holy shit, like the market here is insane. DeKalb County market, all these other kinds of, like, it's fucking wild, man. And then you start going into like, you know, obviously LA, San Francisco, you can get whatever you want. Palm Springs, which is so sanitized. It's just like every store is like a fucking Kroger. You know what I mean?
Really?
It's like, okay. It's very like everything's very sanitized. So there's no good ingredients. It's just the same shit. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much Palm Springs. It's boring as fuck. But then everywhere else was really cool, man. You can get anything. You know, one place that I was like really surprised at was Raleigh. You know, amazing seafood, amazing produce. Like, I was like, holy fucking shit. I was like, this is like Seattle, but like half price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was really cool. The people were really receptive. They really liked me there. That's why I went back twice. And it's been a fun ride, man.
Nice. How, my experience has been, I'm not in restaurants anymore. I work in recipe development, but when I was managing restaurants, I worked big part of that was managing food costs and whatnot. Do you cost out your travel? Like, how do you manage the cost of like travel? Is that built into the dinners, or like, how do you look at that financially?
Yeah. So it's basically when I worked at Alinea, I kind of learned their accounting system, and it was pretty much like all in, all out. So you're not going like a hotel, or you're not going in like a smaller restaurant group going like, you need to hit your fucking 28% food cost and your 12% labor. Like, it's not, yeah. That's crazy. And a lot of times like that shit happens because you're managing towards a bonus, right? Mm-hmm. There's some stupid ass fucking bonus that you're going to manage towards over a month. They're going to be like, here's your extra $300. Great job, executive chef. You know what I mean? And that's like, those are stupid fucking goals. I always tell people these are dumb fucking things, because how much money are you making them, and how much money are they ripping off the top, and how much are you getting fucking paid? Like, fuck you. You know, you're going to give me, as an exec, you're going to pay me like 75, and I'm going to bring in X amount of extra people. And then you're going to tell me, oh, good job. You took off 2% off food cost, and then here's your fucking $200 bonus. Eat shit. You know? So on my side, when I started owning my restaurant, I was very different. I manage everything in it, everything out. I know my fixed costs, you know, obviously rent, utilities, all that kind of stuff. We're within a range, you know, equipment, maintenance, all blah, 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 blah. Labor, blah, 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 blah. But the bigger part of it is going like me selling. I know I'm a fucking amazing salesman. That was my background before all this stuff. I was in business, you know, so on my side, I was like bringing that marketing and strategy and all that kind of thing into this. So when I'm looking at something and going like, hey, you know, here's $60,000 coming in for sales of this one thing, I'm already attaching how much I can spend. And I know how much I'm spending because I'm the one spending it. I'm the one buying it. I'm the one facilitating it, and I'm managing all those numbers myself. I don't have, you know, a fucking once a month meet down with investors and bullshit going like, all right, let me manage a spreadsheet. Fuck you. I'm the one. And if it gets fucked up, that's on me. So it's a very like transparent thing in my head, you know, and also having to answer to anybody. So it actually, you know, you can manage it sometimes where you can go, hey, I want to kind of take a break in between this tour and do this thing, another project. You could ramp up the sales or kind of hold them a little stagnant or not push as hard in certain ways. And it just really depends on that drive of sales and how excited people get about, you know, the shit you're trying to sell them. It's very complex, man. This is not, this is not something that, oh yeah, I want to drive around the country like I'm a fucking band and, you know, get in the U-Haul and get my friends together. You may know bass, you might know guitar. You could probably sing, let's fucking go and figure it out. This isn't that kind of thing. I would say this is an extremely high level. And managing a business, you know, on the fly, obviously, like learning how to cook, knowing how to cook, all these fucking factors, man. Like, you know, I'm my roadie, I'm my driver, I'm all this kind of stuff too. So it's very complex, and it's crazy, but it's like it's very fucking cool to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like such a cool experience. I only asked the financial question in series. Interrupting me here. I only asked the financial question because of, you know, a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people in my community, they get this point where they go from cook to chef or cook to sous chef or managing costs. And they don't, like, when I left culinary school, they said you had to manage costs, but I had no idea. And then I get into this role and I'm like, that's what I'm like worried, like food safety, all that stuff comes into play. So like, could you just kind of speak to someone listening that maybe wants to like follow a path where they have to make, like you said, you're managing your own expenses. Like, what's some advice or what's like, how do you like look at that for yourself, or how did you have to train yourself to look at expenses?
Yes, expenses are different because then, you know, you kind of have to go short term, mid range, long term, right? And then you got to go, hey, oh, I essentially need to end up in here in Seattle in X amount of months, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't, you're like, fuck, I got to go get some line cook shifts somewhere. Fuck. you know, so that's the kind of thing like that. You want to get back here. The worst case scenario is I have an option to just be a line cook somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want that. I don't want to do the line cooks, and the motivation is to do cool shit enough that people buy it that I can kind of keep going. Yeah. While also not, like, killing myself along the way. You know, this is very different because you're not managing a restaurant. You know, I was managing my own restaurant. It was 7 days a week. You know, sometimes something fucking happens at 1 o'clock in the morning, you're getting a call, you're like, fuck, I gotta go. You know, it's a different monster, but then like you're driving from here across the United States. It's, again, it's a different monster. So when costs come into play, again, it's easier to kind of manage them and going like, my assumption of cost from here to there, meaning a week or a day or a month, is this. And so what am I hitting there? You know, meaning like, what are my costs going to be for lodging, spending? And then am I doing dinners in the next couple of days? How much time do I need for prep? How much time money do I have for ingredients? What is the guest expecting? What do they fucking need? What do they want? Why are they spending the money? How can I blow them away? And they talk their shit, get more people in. That's really where it comes down, because, you know, I like that fire with them, and I'm like, I undersell what the experience is. And then when they get there, they're like, Jesus fuck, man, what is this? Like, what is happening right now? And I'm like, it's very different. It's like somebody coming to like your house, or you're coming to my house, but it's like a fucking obscenely high end kitchen experience. Yeah. You know, and I'm right here. I'm like serving them, and I'm like pouring the stuff, and I'm doing the things. And they're like, this isn't, you know, I can't get this anywhere else. And I'm like, that's what you're buying. Mm-hmm. You know, you're buying it, you can't get anywhere else. So as the time kind of goes by, the talking and the kind of vibe of it starts to go a little bit more. As far as managing financials to it, it's not, this isn't something anybody's doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I haven't made the mistakes, you know, like I didn't put myself in a position. There's a lot of planning on the front end where I put myself in a position where I knew I was going to fail. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was the thing that I knew to begin with. I was like, oh, if I know I have guests here. I have the data and analytics of all of that stuff from sales on my site, plus X amount of years, plus, you know, I know this network of people in, you know, Seattle and LA and San Francisco, plus an online presence where I can just kind of go, hey, I'm fucking coming to San Francisco. And people are like, hey, have you ever been, you know, Dude's Restaurant in Seattle? Some people are like, yes. Oh my God, you're coming to LA, like come to my house or come to here or do this. So it creates this kind of like cooler thing. That's what took a little bit more of time. You know what I mean? Like the setting up me and the setting up like the network of people.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And that's why I asked that, because I talk to so many people that like want to get into like creative work and creative cooking space. And I think it's lost that like you need so much upfront planning. And I know obviously what you're doing is so unique to it, but a lot of people are looking for these alternative ways to, you know, become a chef or like flex their skills. And so I think it's cool that you kind of just did a little bit of a deep dive into that. So that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, but like even my style of cooking is very different. Because I've been all the way from regimented shit, I mean, to like following recipes in a binder, right? As a prep cook, and you're like, this is the fucking Caesar salad dressing we've made for 22 years, you know, all the way to going like, okay, well, now I'm making a fucking floating balloon that's edible, you know, and helping create that and doing all these things, you know, at a 3-star Michelin restaurant and then working in restaurants all around the world. You know, I've done all that. So now it's like my style of cooking is obscenely different from I know than anybody, because I literally put ingredients in front of me, pseudo somewhat prepped, and then the entire thing to me is like a DJ booth, like treated as such. So I'm riffing. I write a lead ingredient that I want to see in this menu, and then I'm riffing all the way in the back. Sometimes halfway through a menu, people are talking about a dish or something they liked or whatever, and then I'm like making that. So they can have it 2 courses later. I was like, well, here's my version.
Jeez.
And they're like, did you plan this? And I'm like, fuck no. You guys are saying something. I ended up having all the things. I did it. It's here. What do you think? And they're like, this is too much. You know, so I'm like, it's very weird. It's like I'm listening, I'm paying attention, but I'm also, you know, giving them this very unique thing. And I have, you know, seatings at like 5 and then 8:30, and then menu from 5 is completely different from 8:30, you know, and I've had people come back like the next day and they're like, it's so different already. How is it? And I'm, you know, like that's my whole thing on it. You know, I don't want someone in LA to fucking eat the same shit as someone in Atlanta. That's me. Like why the fuck, like people travel right all over the world to go eat at different things. That's why it's so disappointing with a lot of fine dining stuff when people go and they're like, I went to New York and I had foie gras and Wagyu. And I'm like, well, you can get that fucking anywhere, you know, and you can go to Napa or you can go to wherever. And I'm like, well, that's who cares, you know, but I have this really cool preparation of crab, or I have this really cool preparation of something else that you've never seen before, you know, or I'm in Puerto Rico and I'm showing people things that they've never even thought of, you know, in their lives. And I'm like, yeah, here's this really cool, like tropical fruit that's not outside of Puerto Rico. You can't get anywhere else. And then they're like, holy shit, you know, and it's, that's the kind of shit that like is cool for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I mean, I think just to have, it's a, like a blend of confidence and also a little bit of humility, because I think a lot of chefs would just be like, this is my fucking menu and I'm going to cook this. But for to be able to be there and just like listen to what they're saying, I think is like, that just shows that you're listening and that you care about that person sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care, man. Like, look, I mean, to a certain point, like they're paying, right?
Yeah.
And everybody, like, by the time they get to my place, they've already paid everything. So on my side, it's like, you know, going to a concert, you're not going to tell the concert, like the person you're going to go see, play this for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you to go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You just want them to have a fucking awesome show, right? It may not be all the songs that you want to hear. You know, there's going to be like one or two, and then you're going to wait for that hit song that they kind of know. And you're like, man, they played these two songs. It was dope. But the whole thing is supposed to be kind of different. Like, you don't want to see in the next city, they played the exact same set list and the same thing. You kind of want to like keep it different. You kind of want to like develop it like that. That's what I want to do for people. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now. It's based off of me being there in their city, then whatever story that they're going to kind of make up. And I kind of just like grab that all together. And I think that's way cooler than just going like, hey, I'm a chef and here's my fucking signature, you know, bullshit. And that only goes so far. That's cool for like people that are like, I need to go see Gordon Ramsay and eat these fucking beef Wellington. You know, I need to go see fucking, you know, some fucking old, you know, 11 Madison Park shit and eat whatever the garbage they're doing. You know, that's fine. But like, that's not, you're not going to remember that shit in 20 years. That's something you tell your fucking rich friends or boring friends. And they go, wow, you ate there. That's cool. Like, oh, you drove a Ferrari once. Fucking life's over. Great. But, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Like, none of that shit means stuff. It's the experience that people are having. And I can, you know, push that up and evolve it. Or I can get it down. You know, I can kind of play with them. And, oh, I like to hear this music. And I like to do these things. And I can do all that within the dinner. By the time they're done, they're like, man, this is like the coolest fucking like dinner I've ever had, you know, in a house or not. And that's all I care about.
I think, and I'm interested in asking this question. I know that I don't know that I've ever asked anyone this on the podcast, but I'm going to ask it. I'm going to go for it. So
yeah.
I think a big thing that cooks fall short on is where the structure of the kitchen is often like, put your head down and work.
Yeah.
And talking to you, you're obviously very confident in your abilities, but you're also very confident in who you are as a person and like what you believe in and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Was it always like that for you in kitchens? And I see a lot of people, man, that just like, they are so like stuck in the system of like trying to get to that like 3 Michelin star. And I talk about it a ton on the podcast. I have nothing wrong with people wanting to do that. But for me, that's like, if your whole career is based off of that validation, like that's like, you can't achieve that because that's someone else telling you you did a good job.
Yeah.
So how did you develop this like sense of self to be like, I'm going to do what I want to do. And like, that's it in a culture that's so like, put your head down and work.
Yeah. I mean, I was part of kitchens that did that stuff. You know, I was part of kitchens that got the 3rd Michelin star or got it right out the gate and then had other restaurants and then they got stars there and had bar programs and they've got all the James Beard. I mean, like fucking 13, 15 James Beard awards, you know, all the way through and all these kinds of things. And I've seen all that and I've been part of teams that have been through all that. So at that point I was like, cool. So what do we do now? What's next? That was the thing that fucked everybody up. That was the problem. And that's where that was everybody's like Achilles heel, was that once they got everything, they were like kind of like, well, shit, I don't know. And that was where I was like, none of you guys fucking know actually how to do this for fun. None of you actually know how to do this for the reasons why you got into it. You don't remember why you got into this shit. You know, the put your head down and work through bullshit, that's an employer telling an employee. that's brainwashing. You know, like that's exploitative. You know, they're exploiting them. That's not a good thing because eventually they're going to break down. They're going to get burnt out. Something's going to suck, whether it's the food or them, or they're just going to be like, man, fuck this shit. I'm not getting paid. I'm not getting anything. Or I've seen guys that have like worked for another chef that was something and they've been there for 25 years. Then they go to get out and they go get to, you know, to say like, I'm going to get my own restaurant and I need investors. And everybody's like, who the fuck is this guy? Who the fuck is this person? What the fuck? And they're like, oh, I'm a loyal, whatever the fuck. And I'm like, but you never even, like, you worked for him for 25 years, you can retire? Like, what kind of fucking system did you, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. That's on you. You were exploited. Again, that may or may not be your fault, but, like, the loyalty there, don't fucking do that. I've always told people, don't be fucking loyal to anybody in this industry. 0%.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that. Fuck them. Fuck the Michelin Guide. Fuck the top 50. Fuck all of them. They're all there for their own reasons, too. They're not fucking paying me shit. So why the fuck do I care about them? The loyalty is to yourself, your employees, and your guests. Mm-hmm. Nobody else fucking matters. Like, literally, I'm telling you, nobody else fucking matters. If you're going to get passed over for James Beard Awards, if you're going to get passed over, fuck all that shit, man. If you have your guests and you have your employees and everybody's stoked, they're getting paid, people are fucking paying you, who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. Who gives a shit? Oh, yeah. They give you an award for city's top 10. Fuck them. Who cares? Hey, man, they're going to cover you in so-and-so. Fuck them, too. Because honestly, man, if you got your shit together, you can write your own stories. You can post your own stuff. You can post your own photos. You can get picky about who the fuck you talk to and who you don't. None of that shit matters.
Yeah.
I know that's crazy to say, but I mean, look, man.
It's not crazy to me, man.
I know. It's fucking weird, like, to say that in this industry, because everybody gets fucking crazy about certain things and little awards and little plaques and little stars, but none of that shit means anything. There's been places that have had all that stuff and they still close down. There's places that have had that and they're still fucking assholes to their employees, and their employees quit or go to some thing and say, like, this person's an asshole, they close down anyway, you know. So none of that, again, none of that shit matters. You gotta, like, essentially, you gotta look out for yourself, number one. As a cook, you know, if you're getting to a point where you're like, this shit's going nowhere, it is going nowhere, fucking leave.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking leave. I use all that stuff, I tell people all the time, like, I use that shit against them. They're like, oh, labor shortage, blah 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 blah. Fucking leave, man.
Yeah.
Leave, go somewhere else, you know. And you don't even have to work at the cool hot shit spot either. You can go work somewhere else and just learn for a couple months, quit, mm-hmm. go somewhere else. The pay isn't that competitive. It's not, you're not getting paid RSUs and, like, tech shit. You're not getting any of that stuff. So it's like, even if it was that competitive, you're that good of a cook, then you would be getting paid all that stuff. That's not happening. Like, what are you going to talk about? Like, one job's getting paid $17 an hour. You're almost $18 an hour. And you're going to say, if this one's a dollar more, that's silly. Go to the other one. If it sounds cooler, go to the fucking other one. If it's not, let's just say you don't want to work the 60 hours a week and you want to work 40.
Mm-hmm.
Do it, man. Chill out. Fuck, yeah. Man. You know, stay at home, play fucking Fortnite and chill. That's totally fine. You know what I mean? That's totally fine, because a lot of stuff is going to catch up to a lot of people, and I don't think they understand that. It's a very physically demanding job. It's a very mentally demanding job. I've seen people drop out of this. I mean, lucky I'm tiny. You know, I'm tiny. I still move around. You know, I've been in this industry for a bit, but I've seen people, like, knee replacement, hip replacement, all this kind of shit that happens. And they get to the point where they're like, they're either stuck to a desk or they get out of the industry completely and get into something else. It's like, you kind of have to play that too, man.
Yeah.
These are all the factors. You know, you can be an excellent, amazing cook, but what if you're not good at managing people? What if you're a shithead to your teammates? What if you're all these things? There's so much to it. But if you manage yourself as, like, cool, chill, I'm just here to do awesome, rad shit, everybody's going to get in line with you and want to help you do that.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I graduated from the CIA, and I remember I did a bunch of stages in, like, Chicago and New York.
Yeah.
And I come from a low-income family, and I quickly realized with my student loans, my car bill, and my insurance, I couldn't afford any position anywhere. So I went into, like, management, and then I learned, like, oh, I actually have, like, to learn about, like, you know, managing a restaurant and all that stuff. And then I met all these cooks that didn't even know what Michelin was, working in New York City and working in Chicago. They didn't care. And I, like, literally, I hit this point where I was like, because I literally was dreaming about it. I went to go see Burnt, like, my sophomore year of college. Like, I was like, I'm going to be Bradley Coop. All this, like I'm going to be the Michelin star chef. And I was just like, one day, absolutely. I was just like, no, like, there's, like, this makes no sense. Like, what is this, like, doing for me? Like, this is, it truly is not doing anything for me. And I started to say that on Line Cook Thoughts, and a lot of the audience agrees. You know, you get the people once in a while that disagree, but I truly don't get it anymore, dude. It's like,
I don't, look, can I say something about people that don't disagree?
Yeah.
They're not the ones that own the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the face of the restaurant. And that's usually what I found in. They're just there to defend it because they don't know how to admit that they're being taken advantage of.
Mm.
That's really what it is. Mm. They're going to fucking figure it out one day, and they're going to figure it out when it's too fucking late, and they're going to figure it out when they don't have any more energy or it didn't work out for them as much. That's the fucking problem, man. The problem, a lot of what happens in restaurants too, is that people aren't honest with employees. Hey, I don't know if this industry is for you. That's okay to say to somebody. Because yeah. they just might mean that style of kitchen, but at least you're not
yeah.
tagging them along and fucking them off for another 2 years and wasting their fucking time. Hey, you're not a good fit. Not because like you can't figure the shit out, just because you don't, our style doesn't work for you. And that's okay. Either go somewhere else or fuck, man, like move to front of house or something, you know, like find out the other options. Like, what did you study? Like, well, did you do something else before this? I think a lot of what happens in this industry is like duct tape and a dream mentality for employees. And they're like, we'll teach them, we'll train them, we'll bullshit. And I'm like, that doesn't fucking work, you know, in real business land stuff. If you have a job you need to fill that has a job description and somebody comes up that doesn't fit the job description, in our industry, they're like, fucking, if they can, you know, bleed, get them in here. If they can breathe, get them in here. You know, and that causes, again, a lot of exploitation and a lot of problems and a lot of people that get led down the wrong path, mm-hmm. you know, or somebody who's like kind of sort of good to begin with. And then they get the hot head and they go try out for like Top Chef or something. Well, guess what? You already fucking put a bullet in your career right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't make it on Top Chef and you don't get all the way through, then you're a fucking has-been already that can't really cook.
Yeah.
And then what? What are you going to do? Like get an investor in the middle of somewhere and then they give you money and then they realize you can't run a restaurant, cook, develop. And there's a lot of that kind of shit that happens. So there's all these like different ways to get it. And I'm always telling people, I'm like, you got to as much well-rounded shit as you can get and as many places as you can work to take advantage of them, not the other way around, the better off you'll be.
Yeah, and I think for me, like you said something perfect. I realized that restaurant life wasn't for me. Like right before COVID hit, because I do this, I write, I do all this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
and like I wanted to I wanted my 2 days off to like focus on this stuff, and I wanted to get home by like 6 or 7 to get to work on this and like do other things, you know. And I think so many people in the industry don't realize that they can. Like, I don't have a culinary science degree and I do recipe development now. Like, it just like you obviously there's some jobs I can't get because I don't have a full degree and you need science degrees for some of those.
Of course.
Most of those jobs, like if you work towards it, you can get to where you need to go. But some people are so focused on just restaurants and I lose my mind on it, man. I'm just like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think the path too, it's like on the outside looking in, it seems very narrow because when you're talking about a Michelin star thing, well, that's a certain style of kitchen. You know, even if it's from like 3 to 2 to 1 to Bib Gourmand to Green Guide to whatever, you can kind of get in where you fit in on those. And then you start to see the regions, you know, a 3 Michelin star in Kyoto is very different than a 3 Michelin star restaurant in fucking New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. a 3 Michelin star, you know, in Berlin is very different than one in Paris. You know, so it's like, once you understand even that stuff, you have to go, fuck, which way am I going? You can be a private chef.
Yeah.
You can be a corporate chef. You can be all these things. You can be a hotel chef. You can be, you know, an inventory chef, essentially.
Yeah.
And do really well. You know, you can be somebody that just costs stuff for Chipotle.
Do really well. Have some consultants, know? Like consultations, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the point of view and the view of a lot of, again, kind of like what people see as being the chef, because there's so few that actually get those things. Mm-hmm. You know, you see like the Gordon Ramsays or the fucking Thomas Kellers or all that, you know, that's a lot of money behind them to begin with. So it's essentially like somebody's the investor there. They're giving them money. It's just a name and a face.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between, I would say, like a lot of those guys is they get to a point in their career that they kind of like, oh, cool. Now they could just be the face. You know what I mean? It's they're the mascot now. They're Ronald McDonald. But Ronald McDonald isn't going to be on the fucking hotline when shit goes down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not back there going, God damn it. Fuck, I got a fucking son of a bitch. Where the fuck is goddamn Dave Thomas Wendy's? Get your ass on the line. You know, that's like that shit. Once they get it, they get the name in the face. But then it fucking goes away really quickly. And that's what those guys are. But that's who a lot of those people see. You know, they're watching these Kitchen Nightmare shows. They're watching these Top Chefs things. And it's these old ass chefs who are there. And they're like, here's my blah, 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 judge. But I'm like, yeah, you had a 10 to 20 year run before you even got here. So even from that point, you're talking like those 1%er chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the view a viewpoint that it's dangerous because that's not really what this industry is at all.
Yeah. If you could define success as how you see it, if you were to tell someone, like say someone's coming to the industry, you had the chance to be like, hey, this is what you should be doing to be successful. What would you tell them? Like, what should their gauge be for success?
The biggest, there's two things that I'm kind of in now. Like my thing now is like, I can write my schedule. Mm-hmm. People don't dictate or tell me shit.
Yeah.
It's great. I work a lot anyway. I work a lot.
Yeah.
But I like it because it's my own stuff. If it wasn't my own stuff and I was whining about it, that's on me. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so if I'm going to be like, I've had a bad day and blah, 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 blah. I can have a bad day, but if I'm going to be like whiny complaining about it.
Yeah.
That's on me. So that's my fault. I need to be aware of that. I think people need to be aware of the situations they're putting in, take accountability for that and go, I can actually change this shit. And if you're in a spot in a place that you can't change it, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's the fuck out, man. Unless you're on the fucking contract with that motherfucker and you're a part investor or something like that, there's nothing tying you there. You know, somebody that has a bullshit NDA or somebody has like, oh, you got to work and, you know, tell me you work here for fuck you. You know, like, yeah. But like, you gotta kind of do that, you know? So that plus like, I'm always looking for new stuff, like ingredients or whatever. There really aren't any, but different preparations and equipment and all this kind of stuff. On that side, I know like I'm unmatched on that kind of shit. And I do that on purpose where somebody's coming to me and I'm like, it's not that I already know. I'm never saying like, oh, I fucking know. It's going like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds familiar. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. I've kind of seen something. I haven't figured out the rest of it. And then they put the parts and pieces in there for me. Or we work on it and talk about it together.
Yeah.
But like I had some sort of understanding with that already. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
That to me is like success. Because I have guests and shit that come in that are obscenely high-end or obscenely chill, you know? And, like, they're just, hey, man, we've been saving up for, like, 6 months, and this is our dinner. We've done something like this once every 5 years. Awesome. Then I get people who are, like, worth billions. and then they're cool. You know, like, they have something that's very different that they want out of the experience. But I also weed out who I want.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Because with my verbiage and when people look me up and what I mean, look at me, Jesus Christ, right? like I give off something that's very different. That's not the like white jacket, clean cut bullshit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's like to me, you know, I'm fucking Puerto Rican. The last thing I'm gonna do is put myself in a position where somebody's gonna treat me like fucking help. Because if that happens, I'll help get their ass out of the fucking restaurant. I'll take them out in 2 seconds and I'll be like, you need to fucking go. That's not happening. Don't fucking talk to me like that. That's not what this is. You already know that. No, thank you. I don't talk to you like that. You don't talk to me like that. That's not happening.
Yeah.
So I think that's the switch, right? It's like asserting enough of yourself that people understand you. And then they're partially understanding kind of what they're giving you with their own money. And then you're kind of giving them what they want beyond that. That all those like four things I just mentioned, or if not more, is kind of like what I see as success. And that's like what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. That took me a lot of time of like listening to people, whether I liked what they were saying or not. You know, working with people, whether I like them or not, doing different styles of cuisine, again, like them or not, places and spaces and parts of the world, all these kinds of things. It took a little bit, but there was never a point in time where I was like, this is it. Okay, I've reached my max and then I'm dead in the water now. I was never looking at it like a dead end.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Sorry, my sister called me. I'm trying to, grandma's in the hospital, so.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
She's been in and out. She's been a lot going on. I'll tell her call back in a second. or after this. So, but anyway, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing the success stories and like what your vision of success is. And you mentioned like obviously like being Puerto Rican. I saw that message. Yeah. I don't remember what there was a brand that reached out to you. I was following that on Twitter for a long. I was like
Tastemade or something like that.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, they're like, oh, I'm gonna do these things that you may like or whatever you may be part of, and it was like just Mexican food. Like, listen, man, I love Mexican food. I have tons of Mexican friends.
Yeah.
The last fucking thing I'm going to do is, like, get it weird or mixed up that I'm doing, or I'm the representative, or I'm the face and name for Mexican food. That's not fair. Yeah. You know, because on my side, like, I have cooked Mexican food. I have learned it. I have eaten it. I have, you know, I have a, listen, my dish that I can do for Mexican food is going to be fucking really good.
Mm-hmm.
But in that context, I'm not, that's not me. Yeah. You're talking to the wrong person. Number yeah. one. Number two, it's racist as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, we speak the same language, blah, 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 kind of in the same place. You want to look at that. That's on you. That's not on me. That's your ignorance. You're an idiot. That's the kind of shit that I'll call out in a heartbeat, because I've grown up in a space and a place, you know, I grew up in Seattle and it's obscenely white there. And so growing up, it's like, oh, you know, kids telling you, oh, you're, oh yeah, Puerto Rico. Yeah. You're like Mexican. Oh, you are Mexican. All these other kinds of things, or whatever cultures, or, you know, having people tell my parents, go back to the country. And I'm like, we're Puerto Rican. We're like fucking, we're citizens. What are they going to go back to the country? This is their fucking country. It is, yeah. You know, so it's a lot of stuff like that. You grow up to it. But then, you know, as becoming an adult and then getting to a point where I'm like, am I going to let someone tell me things like this now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't now, even with more things like later in my life, like the internet and the speed of things, I don't allow that. That's not a mistake. Yeah. You know, like there's no get out of jail free fucking card there. And there's no, absolutely no like apology coming back. I'm sorry. That's the way I acted. No, I'm hammering your ass down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm absolutely calling you the stupid fuck, and I'm going to treat you as such. And you're a fucking stupid fuck, you know, and that I don't, that's not my problem. That's your problem.
Yeah.
And I have no problem saying that. And if it says like, oh, now Tastemade isn't going to work with me and whoever else, fuck, do I want to work with those people anyway? You know what I mean? Don't they have enough people in their organization that can talk to the fucking guy? Don't they have an HR person that can talk to the fucking guy that says, hey, maybe you shouldn't reach out to just every person who you think is whatever. And then, you know, that, again, that's an organizational thing. That's a toxic place. I don't want to fuck with it.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I segue into that because, you know, looking at how you do food media and kind of how you manage, mm-hmm. you mentioned that having that online presence. And obviously I thought that was, it was cool that you really like stood up for what, like who you are and like what, and you made it very clear as who you are. What is it for you? Like, how do you like look at social media, look at media? I know that's like such a generic question, but you obviously are successful at it because you have other stuff on your website. I saw like Beat, I saw the CPG goods, merchandise. So like, obviously you're building over on the side and you have this like restaurant tour you're doing or this food tour you're doing, but you're also very active on media and you're kind of leveraging it. What do you, how do you view social media when you like are trying to post or trying to utilize it?
There's a lot of things that are like kind of getting where you fit in. There's a lot of stuff that I've seen forever that even I've been told, like, you know, Puerto Rican food isn't a thing. You know, so there's good stuff. There's good stuff from it. There's really bad stuff from it. So then I'm like, well, where's my place in it? Where's your place in it? Where's their place in it? Where's whoever? And I'm like, wait a second. If that person's saying something and they're saying some definitive statement, and I've met them and I kind of know their background and I'm way more qualified, why the fuck? What's happening right now? You know, like, so then at that point, then I go, well, what are they trying to do? Is it a clickbait kind of thing? Is it to just be the status? Is it just because they've been doing this kind of thing for 30, 50 years, whatever, putting out lists or these types of things? So then on my side, I'm like, oh, okay. I see what's going on here. That's not what's happening now. I've been telling people, look, TikTok's eating everybody's shit. They're fucking destroying every media thing imaginable, any sort of like thing that people had that they thought was going on. It's the same thing that Instagram was doing years ago. It's the same thing that Facebook was doing years ago. And this is like the natural evolution, you know, where people go, you know, at one time it was newspapers and magazines and all these types of things. So on my side, I'm not trying to touch them all. I'm trying to understand it and then take my voice and my understanding and then going, how far can I take it? But then where I need to get the fuck off and bring on more people and then push them forward.
Are you, so are you on TikTok currently?
It's bullshit. Yeah. I just, it's basically just me on there just being
dumb. I'm not.
In TikTok years, I'm like 105 years old, and I can't devote enough time to make the type of videos that I want, and I don't have that skill set, so mm-hmm. I'm not gonna try.
I'm the same way.
Additionally, I'm not gonna be like the chef that's sitting behind the pass, like the the fucking guy from in LA, the French guy, Ludo. He just started like a TikTok thing. It's fucking sad. Like, he's trying to do lingo and he's trying to keep up on stuff, and it's just like, dad, stop. You know what I mean? Like, fucking no. You don't need to fucking do this. Like, you got everything that other people want. Just like, so on my side, that my side is like, hey, I'm not gonna make a fucking fool of myself to a point, even though I do, and it's kind of fun sometimes. I'm gonna find this thing and I'm gonna start building the startup that I'm working on with Beat. So that's where I'm gonna start getting into it and getting other voices, helping propel them, giving the things in the background that they need to get their stuff up and running faster, you know, with logistics and marketing and advertising, money, financial investments, all these kinds of things, and go, hey, I know that you're an excellent cook. I have the star, I have the eye for it, and I can see that you're gonna be something cool. Here's the 9 things you do amazing. Here's the one thing that I can think that's going to take you to that next part. Also, here's money. Here's this. Here's this. That becomes something very dangerous. That becomes a restaurant and mentality of an investor, or an investor as a business, and then applies it to that and says, let's help you build that fucking empire. Let's help you build that brand. Let's help you do that thing. So that's where I'm coming at it from now. And I'm finding that's where I'm going to be like finding those people and doing that thing, rather than just going like, fuck TikTok, fuck this, fuck that. Because honestly, the way you look at it, look, at one time they were talking shit about Eater.
Yeah.
Eater ate up all the magazines, you know, and they started getting bigger. All these other types of, you know, smaller websites that are around, those ones got eaten up. You know, Food and Wine for years was the shit. Nobody cares about it so much anymore. Unfortunately, they do really, really, really good work, but their draw and their things, you know, the most places you'll probably see it at, unfortunately, is like a doctor's office, you know, or somebody that's just had a subscription for years, but it's not making the impact like it always does. You know, when Food and Wine's Best New Chefs comes out, it's a day or two people talk about it, but it's not what it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you get somebody that can make pink sauce on a TikTok trend, that shit's national news. Mm-hmm. So good or bad, right? Good or bad. That's the kind of shit that like somebody at a restaurant in the middle of nowhere would have fucking dreamed of getting. You can get that in a day on TikTok if you hit it right. If you go viral, that's actually a bigger opportunity than going, I've been a chef for 5 to 7 years and now I'm being featured as Food and Wine Best New Chef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the ability to grab it and take the success is in tech and in food and in something like a TikTok or whatever the fuck is next. It's much more approachable. And that's kind of like what I'm always telling people. I'm like, don't fucking poo-poo it. Don't fucking say it, because the second you do that, you're dead in the fucking water. Like 5-7 years ago, podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But now everything's chopped up more, man. Like that used to happen in YouTube videos. Remember YouTube videos? Like, everybody had them and they were making their own videos and they're like, dude, are you really going to give me an instructional thing on how to use this fucking camera for an hour? Now you can watch the same video on TikTok and go, what part of the camera do I need to learn? And you have like, you know, 7 videos that are like 15 seconds long and get the same point across.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at shit like that, I'm like, fuck, man, that's where it needs to kind of be. Because that's where the eyes are.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I recently put out an episode talking about, I truly was like, felt like a little burnt out about like food media recently, and I couldn't figure out why. And much like you, I hate video. Like TikTok creators. Some of my best friends are, and I respect the shit out of it. Me personally, I don't want to deal with editing video. I don't want to deal with like posting it. But like, there will be a point, I'm sure, where as I grow this, like, I'll be involved in TikTok in some way. I just know for me personally, I think it's cool that you kind of share that, where it's like, you know, you're not like the guy on TikTok, but you're investing in others and like trying to get yourself out there in other ways. And I think that's really smart.
Yeah, I mean, I've met a lot of people who do video, whether it's in food or not, and I capture pictures, and I've done all these types of things where I'm pushing around, whatever. I mean, that's an entire field. It's insane to sit there and go, as a restaurant, as a person, now I'm getting on TikTok and then do all these video things and think that you can do that to the degree that a lot of people who are actual creators, the really, really good ones, you know, the Mr. Beasts and all these other people, you can't touch that shit. You know, I saw this thing on him and he was like, Mr. Beast, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm spending $1 million plus to put out each video that he's putting on YouTube, and he's getting insane. Like, his subscriber base is insane. He's doing like Ghost Kitchen burgers and all these kinds of shit. Like, good on him. You know what I mean? But he also realized, like, hey, I'm not necessarily wanting to make all my money on this fucking video. My thing is to get like the masses in and scale out that way, but also doing the good videos. It's not some person that has like a teriyaki place that's going to go, well, we need to be on TikTok. And I'm like, I don't think you really know, understand what you're saying. You know, I hear that, you know, you might have a social media person, or you may have like a fucking like PR firm that you work with. They're like, you got to get on TikTok and do these fucking things. That's not it. That only goes so far. And that's exactly what it did for Instagram. People were taking shitty photos and nobody understood that you're not going to take nice stuff. You know, and so it's the evolution of those types of things, and kind of like, you luck out if you're a chef that did video in like college. You know, you're like, fuck yeah, I'll make these badass ones. And I've seen those creators like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're like classically trained and then like end up knowing how to do video and they make sick videos.
Yeah.
Man, goldmine. Fuck yeah. You know, or else you have the other guy that does like chef reactions. Fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. He's literally just us. Being crotchety old chef, sitting there going like something good about it and praising it, or saying, God, what the fuck is this? I love that shit. Because he looked at it and said, I can't do the videos, but oh yeah, a reply button, it's fucking brilliant. That is a fucking brilliant. And he's got more than 1 million like people, and he's like kind of, you know, latter part of his career. I don't know. I mean, I don't know him personally, but like from what he says and stuff. He has like, I mean, really good opportunity there to be like stepping away from the bullshit work he's doing in the kitchen, be this person that can generate revenue, do all these extra XYZ things. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But the avenue there wasn't to be like, oh, you got to create your own videos and edit and do all these things. He's like, no, I could just be myself as a chef, and that's cool. There are people copying him now. You know?
But the copy.
Again, these are all the things that you get to kind of see and realize it and go, I guess I'm just going to do, you know, shitty ass talking videos of people, you know, or talk, not shitty ass, but like talking shit stuff about people. And that could be the thing. Yeah, that's a possibility. So it's the opportunity is like, what I'm saying is like, on my side and what I'm going to be doing with people and the beat thing is that kind of thing going like, hey, you know, fuck man, you've got this thing, or whoever else it is, you've got this thing. This is where you're good at. It's teaching, it's talking to people, it's being face. Oh, you're kind of not into that. Like, hey, let's get you into like writing stuff. Hey, let's get you into whatever.
Yeah.
We're producing it in house, we're putting it out. You know, we're building our own community, our own ecosystem, and going, hey, this is what we're doing. Another person that's working with us, this is dope. And it works out really cool.
Two things to go off of what you just said. One of them, and you mentioned writing. Like, for me, I really don't make much revenue on this, but I also don't spend like a ton of time. Like, I spend a good amount over the 4 years I've been doing this, I've spent good time on Line Cook Thoughts.
Yeah.
But it's not my main revenue, and I've never like committed to being the main thing. So I find a lot of enjoyment in just having like this side thing that I do that does take up a lot of my free time, but that's what I like doing. But for me, I'll make money through this, or I've made money through this, has been like freelance writing. Like, I got a lot of writing jobs, which then let me get more writing jobs, and then like seeing me run my own blog and my own podcast. Yeah. Like, any money I make that's been like lucrative for me has been writing, and it's not that's from doing the podcast and the Instagram. And it's so weird, like, you never would think that that channel would open up for me doing this, you know? It's like so odd.
But it's odd because, like, what did everybody tell you at the beginning of your career? Put your fucking head down and shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they're wrong. And then you had all this talent within you that was unrealized, and then over time you realized, hey, fuck man, I can do this stuff. You're all talking about like, hey, I'm doing these classes and consultations, and then, you know, I'm getting it to a point without having a degree, but I mean, people are still hiring you to do that stuff. So you've got all these, like, you know, different tasks and things that you can kind of reach into it and build that within the system, right? Without having to just be like somebody that does a fucking best brunoise at a restaurant, and that's all you're known for. And they'll never let you go above that, because if you go away, then who's going to do the Brunois now? You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, that shit is very limiting, and it stops. It only goes so far. So, like, you seeing where you're going now, you evolving, you kind of, like, doing your own thing. That's exactly what I'm talking about with all the stuff I'm doing, too. It's the same shit. It's not paying attention to, like, what the industry is or isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, because really who drives the industry is investors who want a cool place to eat.
Yeah.
Or want to pump it into being a chain, you know, a Chipotle or whatever else. And, you know, or it's the chef that needs to hit those little goals. And everybody around them and below them, they're kind of just there to be recycled or killed or something. That's all it is. That's the main players. Anybody around that, it's just like, man, it's fucking watering the plants, and yeah, you need more water anyway, fuck you. You know, and so, like, once you can get around that and see, oh yeah, you can actually be an awesome writer, you can do these things, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Write about the restaurant closing. Show them what. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, remember when you talk shit about my cooking anyway? Here's your fucking obituary for your stupid ass restaurant. Fuck you. You know, like, whatever. You know, that's how you get it in whatever way you want. But that's the coolest thing about being out and out in the world and being able to do different stuff, is that if, like, so for example, the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
restaurants close down and people get laid off. They're at home doing who knows fuck what's. There's people that figured out new ways to do things and different things for themselves, got out of the industry and went different places and went back to school or whatever. That's fucking awesome. That's fucking awesome. You have other people that were just like depressed, sitting at home going like, when can I get back in the kitchen? When can I, and doing it at any cost. I guarantee you go find those people and they're going to be like, I think I made a mistake coming back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now they're just getting churned in harder, harder, harder than they ever have been before. Because the people that left aren't coming back. And so now they're going like, fuck, I got to do 10 times more hard work and I'm not getting paid shit, a difference. Yeah. You know, they're not getting paid twice as much, three times as much to cover four more people. Mm-hmm. They're just getting shit on. You know, so it's like, that's kind of what I always tell people. I'm like, you got to realize when to stay in and when to get the fuck out. And when you get the fuck out, don't fucking look back. This isn't like ex situation. Ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, ex-whatever that you want. This isn't that shit. Don't look at their fucking Instagram. Block them if you need to. Don't fucking do it. You know, you gotta go this other way and do shit for yourself.
And, you know, for me, it's like, I look at, like, I love the site Upwork. They kind of have a mm-hmm. shitty fee that you have to pay through your work, but I've gotten so many opportunities on there. And then there's like some small stuff, like, and people are like, oh, well, like, I've recommended to people, and they're like, oh, well, you've been writing for a while. I didn't have a writing degree. I figured it out. But for example, a few months ago, there was a job that was like, they paid me $80. So you take the 20% fee off, whatever. I'm not going to do, I'm bad at math. But she wanted 10 recipes, and she wanted 10 recipes set up. I had a few days to do it, how to cook it. Like, any cook could come up with 10 recipes and just sell it to this person. And it's like, $80, like, that's $80. That's groceries for the week. Like,
it's fucking insane, because like, you look at it like that, and how many chefs or whatever else, they can like pop off. They have books and notebooks and, you know, Google Drives and all this shit of recipes, and going, you want 10 recipes, motherfucker, here. Are these tested? Yeah. We've done them in a restaurant like 200 fucking times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's tested.
Yeah.
Don't be a dickhead. Not use Roboku. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, fuck, come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Use your recipe. Yeah, so like, you as a cook could see that as an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
A person who's just a recipe writer by trade would go, that would require me to test out 10 recipes. And they're like, always starting from scratch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. That shit. I read that shit. I see people say shit like that all the time. And I'm like, oh, right. You're like, you've never worked in kitchens and you don't have, mm-hmm. I swear to fucking God, I have thousands of recipes just fucking in my head that I never even put out. That I can off the top of my head just go, yeah, you know, it's like, talk to me. Yeah. What's the protein? What's this? Yeah. Like, six many. It's like fucking this, blah, 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 blah. Who cares, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that shit's gonna work, but somebody who's not trained to do that wouldn't know that, and they'll have to like fuss over it and cook it six fucking times and do their recipe testing. And I'm like, nah. But like, somebody who's got your skill set would be like, nah, it's good, solid. Here's your eight recipes. Bye.
Yeah.
going to PayPal me? Going to Venmo? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's like, it's so crazy. And like, and yeah, I mean, sometimes like for Upwork, for example, it goes back to like another thing. It's like, it does take a little time. Like I've talked to some people and they're like, oh, I'm not getting hits. I didn't get, like, you got to apply. Thousands of people are applying to all these jobs, but you hit two or three, your profile is like, oh, it's like you just got to know how the platform works. So for Upwork, like real quick, like if you do like four jobs or five jobs and you complete them all, you get like this little badge that says rising star that then puts you into like the algorithm of like other people. Like, so like you said about TikTok, knowing how it works, everything has a system built in. And once you figure it out, you can then go and leverage what you know how to do.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's all you want, right? You, like, you're figuring out the system. It's the same thing. Like people, when, you know, like Uber came out, and when it first came out, people were like gaming systems and trying to figure out ways to like, oh, I don't want to get stuck with the, you know, 2 mile trip. I want to get the good 20-minute one or one from the airport. And it's like, once you start to figure that stuff out, then you're dangerous. It's the same kind of shit. Like if you're going to approach it with, oh, I'm in the system now and give me what's owed to me, you're fucked. Same thing, like if you go to a restaurant and you're like, I want to be a chef. Okay, so now you're a prep cook. Guess what? You're still not a chef. Now what? You know, like, fuck you. I understand that you have all this training and shit from whatever school you went to or whoever you worked at before. We have our own set of recipes here and you don't fucking know them, so you don't know shit. Sorry. our guacamole is a little different than that one, so I don't care about the one that you fucking make. We have our own. You know, these are all the types of things that over time of being in this industry, you go, okay, cool. Like, oh yeah, yeah. Again, I know 90% of it or 80% of it or 30% of it. Please show me the rest of the way. I'm an idiot. Chef, can you demo this for me? You know, that's, you know, that can make yourself, you make you dangerous. And that's the cool part.
Yeah. Awesome. I know we're coming up on an hour. I did want to touch on one more topic before we kind of wrap up. And that's the CPG products you're doing. That's kind of the space I'm in right now. And I know like, looking at your, I had the website here, but looking at your website, and I'll put it in the show notes. What made you want to do that? And kind of, well, first, how are they packaged? Like, are you packaging them yourself or what's that
so
like?
So it depends on what it is. There's some stuff that I'm packaging myself. There's some stuff that I have a co-packer that I work with. And then now I'm wrapping all that up, so it takes it out of my hands personally.
Yeah, I mean, co-packer, yeah. No, I know.
So the co-packer stuff, you know, getting things like nutrition facts and then UPC codes and all these other kinds of things. You know, Emily, who's my partner, she's also a dietitian. Like, that's her world. So that ended up working out where she's like helping me out with that and kind of like all these kinds of things that are coming from it. So like now it's like the next steps are getting it, the label on, getting co-packers to package it, getting with distributors around the US, and then exploding it from there. On that side, that I know I have an uphill battle. It's Sison, it's adobo. There's a pocket of everybody that knows the Goya stuff. There's a pocket that goes, I can make it myself. And then there's a pocket of who the fuck is that? And what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Then there's a pocket of, oh, I know what it is. And the ingredients you use are so wildly different, but it tastes so much better. What the fuck is going on? And I'm like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like the outlier in that spot. And in that field where I'm like, I'm not trying to get you the box. That's the Sison for everybody. I'm doing the Highlander shit. Like, there can only be one motherfucker. You know what I mean? And I want to be the one. And so on my side, it's taking my expertise, taking all the things that I know and going, here's the best version in my opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's better than anybody else's, but in mine, the shit that I'm putting out, I know that it's dope and I have no problems with it and I stand behind it. And especially in my culture where I do it, I've had enough people in my culture that are like, what the fuck is this? Holy shit. And I go, this is, thank you. You know, you're like, awesome, adorable, I love it. And that's cool too, that's a good feeling. So on the other side of it, getting out, getting distributors, getting all these things, the grassroots behind it, I've seen people like, so the Rancho Gordo, they were probably, I think, like one of the slowest trajectories of highly successful companies in food. Hmm. They've been doing this for fucking 20 plus years and working with high-end restaurants and all these kinds of people. And like, they have a newsletter and it puts out, and it's been featured in New York Times and all these things. And like, pandemic happened and people are like, I'm cooking beans now. And all even like, they've been in there, they've been in the game, but like, it keeps on blowing up more and more for them. And I'm like, that took time. And I was like, that's what I want to be. I want to be for that spice and seasoning shit. Like, I want that to develop slowly. I don't want it to be like, here's the next thing. Like, fucking, you know, I don't want it to be the fucking Corona.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be, you know, like, people talking shit about bacon now, because years ago, everybody fucked over bacon. And I'm like, bacon's still good. Fuck you. But, you know, same thing with avocado toast. I was like, avocado toast is still great. You can't tell me that avocados aren't fucking good. Fuck you. You know, it's stuff like that. Like, I don't want to be that trend shit. Fuck that.
Yeah.
The shit that I'm going to make with this stuff, the spices that I'm making aren't that. They're the, when I look at like the legacy big boy, you know, like kind of spice companies,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that hit for people, the Tony Shasheries, the Lowry's, the, all these kinds of spices, they're like, this is what I put on everything. My fucking Montreal steak seasoning. And I put this on and there's no other thing I put on this. And I'm like, fuck, man. All right. Like, I want that shit.
I want that royalty,
like, that's kind of like, I want that fucking vibe. You know, I want to be like, hey, I go camping. And when I go camping, this is exactly what I put on my eggs, my steak, and my, you know, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. All the way from people who are not that. And they're just going like, I actually just like this because I eat vegan food and it makes it taste dope. Or I eat, you know, shellfish and this shit tastes, you know, like, that's the kind of vibe I want from it. I want people to go like, fuck, I need it. I want it. It's good. It's fucking, it's good on popcorn. Like, my kid eats it, you know, all these kinds of things. Like, that's to me as a food thing, that's the ultimate, like, fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I made something good, because it doesn't matter who tries it. They can't say it's not good or they don't like it. I've honestly, man, I've literally not had a single motherfucking person that's tried the adobo, the sison, or the fennel salt that has been like, and I'm like, bullshit. Yeah. Fucking lying. You're just trying to play devil's advocate shit with me. That shit doesn't fucking work with me. fuck that. You know, like, let me make something with it, and you're gonna be like, oh, okay, cool. And then they try it, and they're like, fuck you. I like it. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, this isn't the conversation to have with me about that. You're not gonna avocado me. Fuck mm-hmm. you. You know, that's the kind of thing. It's a slower thing.
Yeah.
To scale it to what it could be, there's challenges. There's challenges within something like getting it, you know, the thing now is like getting it into like a Kroger or a Whole Foods and all these things. I think, well, if you know, you've worked with Whole Foods, they dictate what you can and can't have in certain products.
Yeah.
Guess what? Fuck you. Mm-hmm. And you don't get my shit. I don't tell you what to put in your store. I'm not going to definitely have you tell me what to put in my system, because if I miss on two or three ingredients, it's not the same thing anymore.
Yeah.
And then if I have somebody that buys it one place and they don't buy it the other place, they're like, why is this different from here to here? I'm not fucking doing that. I don't want to play that fucking game. The Rancho Gordo thing is like, hey, we sell beans, are dope, but you can't get Rancho Gordo beans at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that. I'm like, that's dope. So then it's, again, this is managing what you want the brand to be. Does it need to be the Tony Shasheries overnight? Does it need to be the Lowry's? Does it need to be, you know, the anybody else? I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need it to be Morton Salt. You know, I don't need it to be Diamond Crystal Salt. I don't need it to be that way.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it being here, you know, and that's cool.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. I mean, it's definitely been interesting to watch. I'm going to have to order some online. And speaking of the plugs, if you could just plug your website where people can follow you on social media, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's just Eric Rivera Cooks, ERICRIVERA, Cooks, COOKS, .com, or my Twitter's the same thing, Eric Rivera Cooks. My Instagram's the same thing, Eric Rivera Cooks. TikTok one. It's all the kind of same thing. I'm very good on that brand thing.
Cool.
Awesome. But yeah, no, it's, you know, if you like seeing people talk shit, follow me on Twitter. If you like pretty pictures, Instagram, yay. If you like random stupid videos that are very low budget garbage, go to TikTok. but you know, like on my main website, it's basically my place where I sell things. So like the tour stuff, spices, you know, teasing other products, you know, projects that I'm working on, mm-hmm. the members area that I'm been working on for a few months, that I'll launch soon. The Beat project, which will be a startup that I'll start next year, that'll be very aggressive, you know, stuff like that. And then I'm always kind of like keeping my little ears and eyes open for stuff too, because there's always something, man. You know, like I'm not looking to always hit on my own things either. If I can't do a tour, then I need to find something else, you know, but mm-hmm. it still involves me doing my thing and cooking. And if I can't cook one day, guess what? I'll figure out something else. You know, so there's always kind of that thing. And that's, I think, the most important thing to kind of like take away for everybody. It's like, there's got to be that other thing. There's got to be the one thing sometimes, but I never treat it like it is forever, unless that one thing is such a massive like lottery win hit that, good for you, you have a Bugatti, you know, that yeah. I can't tell you that you did anything bad because you have a Bugatti. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that Bugatti is that you don't have gas money now, so maybe you should have thought of some other things along the way. So yeah. that's kind of like where I'm always talking to people about. I was like, don't sell yourself short and don't get fucked.
Good advice. that should be a tattoo. I end all my interviews the same. Now that you've been on the show, you talk to the Line Cook Nation. It's what I call the audience. It's a group of chefs, cooks, people in the food industry, anyone that is like started as a line cook and has moved their way up. What does it mean for you to talk to that audience and kind of share your thoughts and ideas?
That's been the audience that's always like I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like everything I say to people always that I'm talking to them, I'm like, I tell people I'm just a cook, man. People say, call me chef, and I like kind of look at them funky and I'm like, I'm like, you don't work for me. Like, mm-hmm. leave me alone. But if you call me a cook, I'm like, hey, yeah, what do you want? Yeah, well, of course, I'll make that for you. You know, that's kind of what it is for me. Like being a cook has always been the cook mentality. It's like, fuck, scoot over. I'll do it. You don't want to do it, I'll make it. Fucking get the fuck out of my way. You know, or work with me or get the fuck out of the way. And that's kind of the mentality where you start to get, you know, one time I was working with a chef. I was the head down worker. Oh, fuck yeah, chef. Like, let's fucking go. We're going to kill the service. I was doing my whole thing and we're a whole rail of tickets. And he just pulled me offline, just grabbed me by the back. And he's like, come here. And I'm like, fuck, Jeff, I've got fucking 3 pans of this fired and 2 pans of this in the oven. He's like, shut the fuck up. Come here. he goes, you know what I'm worried about? And I like look back at the fucking stove and shit on saute. And I'm like, fuck, Jeff, you know, freaking out. He's like, come here. Pulls me. He goes, that line, these employees, walk out to the middle restaurant. This restaurant takes me outside really quickly, shows me the outside of the restaurant. This restaurant, that place down the street, that's also mine. Runs me back in. All my shit's fucked. And he's like, refire everything and think about a bigger picture for yourself. And I'm like, this motherfucker, holy shit. That's when it was like, look past your line, look past your station, look past the shit that you're doing. You got to look much larger. There's a bigger point of view. It's not just crushing service that night. It's like, what happened within it? You know, how many people did you impact? How many people did you go out and talk to? How many people did you go, you know, is your staff cool? Are you cool with the staff? Are you being a piece of shit? Are they being a piece of shit? Like, how are you working? Like, what's the next step for you? Is it learning another station? Is it learning some more skills? Have you maxed yourself out? Do you need to find a new job? That's the kind of shit for me that's like cook to cook that's always around. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking at always, because my mentality of when I go to look at ingredients and talk to people and do these things, it's I was a cook. That never goes away.
Yeah.
I think once that goes away, like, it's time to stop. You know what I mean? You know, it's okay to call and order a pizza. It's okay to, like, you know, go to the restaurant and sit down and eat. That's okay. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. But, like, the second as a cook that you don't want to do that stuff anymore is dead. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's fine. Like I said, and you know, people figure that out and they find out other things to do. But, like, if you're not constantly, like, going beyond the point of view from your little fucking shitty station that you set up yourself and you're so fucking proud of, then, you know, again, there's bigger stuff. And that's kind of what I always tell people as a cook. That's what you need to look towards.
Cool. Good advice. Thank you so much for the interview. And really a pleasure talking to you.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
So there you have it, my interview with Eric Rivera. Thank you all so much for listening to the show. Please, as a reminder, go to linecookthoughts.com and sign up for the newsletter, the Line Cook Thoughts newsletter that goes out every Monday. Also, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can leave reviews, you can leave star reviews, and you can leave comments. Please give me feedback on what you would like to see out of the show, what you thought of this episode, and any other episodes in the show. Your feedback is integral to me getting better as a podcaster, and I really look forward to it. Lastly, if you go to ericriveracooks.com, you can hear more about our wonderful guest, Eric, today, and you can learn more and learn about his tour. He has his tour that's coming out in 2023 that you can, you know, obviously book and get into as well. He has ebooks. He has his new tech startup that he's starting to work on. Not ready yet, but it's coming soon. Members only, his CPG brand, and so, so much more. So go check it out at ericriveracooks.com. That's ericriveracooks.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next Line Cook Thoughts podcast.